The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hadley, Hadley, folks. I don't have a bell, so that doesn't work. Anyway, so let's go on to St. George's Day, or St. George Floyd, or whatever the hell else we're going to name it now. I do like the idea of being St. George, actually. It just sounds better now that I think about it. But let's go to the segment itself, which is, of course, we're recording this on a Thursday morning, but it was St. George Day on Wednesday, in which we celebrate and remember the killing of the dragon. I don't know. It's St. George Floyd's Day, which the Americans are now making some kind of national holiday in their own, you know, de facto lives, or at least leftist Americans are. So they decided to go on a big spree of saying, oh, what's changed?
And so what are they actually doing on this day? Are they celebrating his death? Like,
depends who it is.
I mean, marking his death with some kind of holiday and celebration seems a little bit distasteful even for them, doesn't it?
Well, there's two camps of leftists. So if we go to the first link, we can see the first camp of leftists who they're deciding for his holiday to sit around and contemplate about what has changed. And as you have the article here from Bezos Media saying 2 years after Floyd's death, black Minnesotans say little has changed. I don't know, I'd say a lot has changed, frankly. We'll check it out. And if we go to the next one here, we have, of course, the remembrance as well. The first meme being, why not just use a real $20 bill? And then no one will remember your name. And if we go to the next image, we have, in fact, yes, of course, people do remember his name for the $20 bill and the shenanigans afterwards. If we go to the next link here, we have a Forbes article just saying, 2 years after George Floyd, black leaders reflect on the change. And this is where we get to the second camp of leftists, who are kind of just like, well, I really miss him. I really do. It's been fantastic, frankly. All the millionaires and billionaires.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've probably made a lot of money virtue signaling off of, oh, it's such a tragedy. Oh, he was murdered by police.
Yes. I mean, and I did so
Officer Fentanyl.
So if you do like just a quick scroll, John, or like if you just like scrib through it, because it's just, I want to demonstrate like really quick. Don't bother going slow. It's still slow. It's just like they have the fact that just there's loads of different losers and they're all millionaires and just talking about the fact that, oh yeah, it was horrible, the fact that this all happened and I've made loads of money and that's terrible as well. And of course, it's a Forbes article. What did you expect? So you have that. If we go to the next one here, we have the fact that we have Jabba the Marxist herself, who made all her buckaroos. Of course, that's something else that changed, her and her mansions. I thought we'd just include the clips again to demonstrate what has really changed.
She looks very happy, doesn't she?
Yeah, basically.
It's almost like she's made a lot of money.
One of the things that changed, a bunch of lesbians, specifically one of them, and her wife, made millions and millions of buckaroos. Let's play.
I'm so glad to have the both of you here and in person.
Yes!
It's been a really intense year and a half.
That was a nice way to talk about.
Right.
And I look up to the both of you so much. You know, you're big sisters to me, you're movement leaders, you're gangsters.
Portal opened, yes. Right? And how the whole community had to rush in,
yep. Yeah.
To save D, yep. Right? Yeah. To save our black future.
Yeah. Yep.
Right, like that's what was happening, but it wasn't Hippolyta, it's yeah. George Floyd's spirit.
Even lazily doing it as well.
Remember we used to pretend like we weren't, had to pretend like we weren't, defund the police, because this is a budget issue.
Right.
Yes. And like now we are talking about abolition. Yeah, we kind of just mean abolition.
I'm never going to not stop playing that clip.
Because I'm laughing about it as well. It just...
we got away with it.
Oh dear. Well, yeah. To be fair, I kind of commend them for grifting the Black Lives Matter money, because what they did is effectively new to that political movement entirely just by being greedy and selfish.
Yes. It has been beautiful to see. I can see all the activists within the organizations, like local branches, all being like, wait, we were conned? And I was like, yes, it was always a con. Always has been. it's that. So there we have two lesbians who made a lot of money out of that. And that's one thing that's changed. So two blacks made better off after George Floyd and his heroic sacrifice.
Well, it was called Black Lives Matter. We just didn't know which Black Lives Mattered. And apparently it's those two black lesbians.
Certainly. Though we have a fact. I mentioned the heroic sacrifice because I wanted to go back to this as well, which is another person who did quite well out of George Floyd, which is politicians. And we have the best example, obviously, being Nancy Pelosi, who decided to thank George Floyd for sacrificing his life for our sins or something. I don't know. Let's play.
We saw it happen. And thank God the jury validated what we saw, what we saw. So again, thank you, George Floyd, for sacrificing your life for justice, for being there to call out to your mom. How heartbreaking was that? Call out for your mom. I can't breathe. But because of you and because of thousands, millions of people around the world who came out for justice, your name will always be synonymous with justice.
What is that to say?
I mean, even from a leftist perspective, surely the fact his name is synonymous with injustice. That doesn't even make sense from their own narrative.
It doesn't make any sense.
Is Nancy Pelosi saying that Chauvin delivered justice there? I think that's what she said.
The fentanyl delivered the justice. St. George and his life. I mean, it is so tone deaf. I mean, even as you say, from a leftist perspective, there's no rectifying any part of that statement. I mean, it is just garbage in its entirety. But probably the most revealing moment of the entire thing, which is, yeah, this is all about us, the politicians. It's about us gaining power. That's all we ever think about, which is why I will go out and say at a press conference, he died for us. Yeah, he did, for you, and nothing else, apparently, because that's all you see it as. But then there's also some other people who did very well. Some other things have changed. Some politicians have got more power out of it. Some lesbians made some quick cash. There's also some other people who made some quick cash, and they're selling his biography. George Floyd's biography being sold here on PBS. Why? Just why? Who was asking for this, frankly?
To be fair, it could be really interesting. It just paints him as a massive degenerate.
If they were doing this to do as a historical record, yeah, but the people doing this are not. They're doing it to make money off.
He heroically ate fentanyl in his last hours.
For politicians, oh. it's ridiculous. But we'll play a clip from it, this interview, which is, again, just revealing how just shallow these people seem to be. This is one of the authors. And he decided to go off and say that, well, if it wasn't for America, George Floyd could have been a Supreme Court justice. But, you know, America keeps down black people from becoming Supreme Court justices. Don't fact check me. Let's play.
All these institutions, all these different systems, from the land loss that started with his ancestors from long before he was born, to the struggling, crumbling education system and poor housing system, to a criminal justice system that was hyper-aggressive in terms of treating a person and looking for a person like George Floyd to incarcerate. And his life had been shaped by all these institutional forces, and many times those forces hindered his ambition to strive and become something in the world.
We talked to his second grade teacher and found out that he had a lot of ambitions as a young kid, and he actually was a relatively smart 8-year-old. He was someone who wrote an essay about wanting to be a Supreme Court
justice.
Downhill
from
there. And we talked to his students in high school that were with him when he got to high school, and we saw that smart kid that was a second grader and had all of these ambitions had been funneled through a number of segregated, underfunded schools in Houston's Third Ward, and by the time he gets to high school, he has been told, you're not going to be able to make anything of yourself by going to school. You should focus on your sports athletics career and try to make it that way.
What delusion are these people under? He was basically peaking at 8. And at that point, he was on a trajectory to become a Supreme Court justice. But damn underfunded schools, damn neighborhoods being distorted by American history. And therefore, well, he ended up dead from, well, who knows?
I mean, to argue that he was told that he couldn't succeed because of racism. I mean, I was told that I probably wouldn't make a good physicist. And I mean, they were right.
But it's also just like, yeah, he was basically going to be Supreme Court justice if it wasn't for the damn underfunded schools and America keeping our brother down. Because, you know, there's no black person that's ever made it to Supreme Court ever in all of human history. Don't fact check that. Because, again, it's just so transparent. Again, the picture they want to pay of just like, basically, America's evil. That's the book. That's the book they wanted to make. They're just using him as a vehicle to do it. Evidently by their own words. Because the idea that he would have been something if it wasn't for the United States giving him the fentanyl and then it's embarrassing, to say the least. If we go to the next link here, we have this link here, the Los Angeles Times, who try and give credence to this, and they have an article looking at the many chapters marked by racism in the George Floyd family's history. They give us this rhetoric about the fact that Floyd's great-grandfather was a slave and then became one of the wealthiest landowners in North Carolina in his life. So he became free at 8 years old. And this is...
What, he's an 8-year-old slave master?
Well, he became a free at 8 and then presumably had people working for money, so not for slaves instead. But then the question you've got to ask, okay, for what kind of man can do that in Confederate South State, goes from slave to biggest landowner? Well, he's got to be smart. He's got to know what he's doing. He's got to be, you know, entrepreneurial and actually, you know, quite an upstanding guy. And then they say, in black and white family photos, Stuart poses with his wife in front of China, cabinet full of crockery, wearing a dress shirt and suspenders. But the couple couldn't read or write. White farmers settled their land. They were powerless to fight back. It was stolen from them, Harrelson said. And they don't give us any details about how this land was stolen, how the white people turned up and settled it, in whatever happened to George Floyd's great-grandfather.
Well, I imagine that if they were illiterate, they're not going to have any understanding of the legal backing to own land. Like, if land is unclaimed, someone can claim it, and then they like go through the legal process of then legally being the claimant of that land.
But then how is he a landowner?
Well,
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that this was unclaimed land that white people took because he hadn't written it down because he couldn't read or write or something. Like, no, you say he was one of the wealthiest landowners in North Carolina in the Southern Confederate state there, and yet it just disappears, just goes. They don't give us any details. I don't know who's stupid enough to just believe this. It's just, oh, well, that makes sense perfectly.
It would be nice for some evidence.
Yeah, instead they provide nothing. And if we go to the next one here, we have Candace Owens, who is actually, well, doing some work instead of just writing a Golden Boy piece. She's gone and interviewed Derek Chauvin's mother and also people who knew George Floyd and is making a documentary about that. So To be honest, I'm just looking forward to that because it looks like someone actually trying to find truth instead of just being like, I'm just going to make a propaganda piece, frankly, as you see from the biographers or the rich lesbians. Because the next one as well, I also thought we'd look at the fact that the Washington Post decided to put this out. George Floyd was shot and killed in police custody.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember that part.
The fentanyl grabbed a gun. The knee grabbed a gun. Neither of the rhetorics, neither of the tales about what happened, neither of the sides of the court case mention a gun ever or a bullet. I mean, is this like, I've been shot through the heart? I mean, is it rhetoric like fentanyl shot him through the heart and then he's gone or something? This is obviously just the level of journalism you get from the Bezos media, which is, we don't know what happened in the slightest. But then again, no one does, and the left. Because remember, we covered the trial in, well, kind of ridiculous detail.
Yes, it was somewhat excruciating, wasn't it?
But it had to be done because literally no one else was doing it in the sense of even the mainstream right in this country had no idea what was going on. I remember Julie Hartley Brewer saying on the radio as we were driving in, the prosecution, the defense is making this argument that he died of drugs or something? I don't know. It's just like, Julia, like, it's a pretty simple case. Like, he's on a ridiculous amount of fentanyl.
Isn't it three times the lethal amount?
There were pills with fentanyl when his saliva found in the cop car. So obviously he downed his stash before he was arrested and then passes out in a long, drawn-out sequence, the kind of which can be found in someone overdosing on fentanyl. I mean, that's the defense's argument. It has it. It's very simple. But the idea now is he was shot and killed by in police custody. I mean, there just no attention was ever paid to that court case, really, was it? And if we go to the next one, we have the fact that it's not just they tweeted it, so the social media manager didn't catch it, Bezos Media, but also the guy posting on their website didn't catch it either, and it's been archived. So we know, yeah, this is 100% true. They did really put out that George Floyd was shot and killed in police custody. If we go to the last one here, you got them, so the media grifting, you got the lesbians who are grifting at BLM, you got the guys selling books who are grifting. Well, no one grifted as hard, frankly, in the politician sense. Nancy Pelosi did well, but Barack Obama yesterday decided to put this out. As we grieve for the children of the kids who were killed in the mass shooting recently, we should take time to recognize that 2 years have passed since the murder of George Floyd under the knee of a police officer. Why? Why should we take time to recognize George Floyd Day in response to a mass shooting? I mean, it's more tone deaf than even Nancy Pelosi saying he died for our sins. It's just like, well, yeah, there is this mass shooting that's taken place. But George Floyd, I mean, it's so put in. His killing stays with us all to this day, especially with those who loved him and also the families of the kids who were killed. I'm sure we'll be recognizing, putting their kids aside for a moment, to recognize George Floyd and his national holiday we all have to live with now, apparently. I mean, it's not really funny, but it is just depressing. That there you have it. There's St. Florge Day, as I'm just going to carry on calling it, and the man who died for our sins. And what has changed? Well, some black lesbians got a load of money, some politicians grifted super hard to get power, and some guy sell a biography to say that he did nothing.
Plenty of shops burnt down as well.
Yeah, that's that. If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as the Contemplation series, this one between Thomas and Josh on what is wrong with Western philosophy. And if you want to follow Josh, you can follow him on Getter at @Josh_Firm on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.